Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, we're going to read my favorite account of the resurrection. If you would stand to your feet and go with me to Luke chapter 24. As I said, this is my favorite account of the resurrection. The resurrection is found in all four Gospels. You know why? Because it is the most important event in human history. And we're going to look at it today and we're going to learn from it. And we're going to allow the Word of God to transform our life as we do each and every week. We always want to look not just at ideas, not at philosophies, but we want to look to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It is the most important thing that we have in our life. And so I want to read Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, and then we're going to get into the word today. Luke 24, verse 1, it says, "Now on the first day of the week," that's why we are meeting together on Sunday today, because this is technically the first day of the week, "very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this." You ever been greatly perplexed about something? You're not really sure what to think about it. You're caught in a situation. You're like, "I'm not really sure what's going on here." Well, these were real people that were living real lives. And we read it so often we forget. But they were in a situation and they were beside themselves wondering, "What is going on right now? We came to anoint the body of Jesus," because they'd forgotten that he told them he was going to rise again. And we'll find that later. So they're perplexed in the situation. They don't know what to do. "Then behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them," this is one of my favorite quotes in the entire Bible, and that's why I chose to read from this text today, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women of them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them," listen to this, "like idle tales, and they did not believe them." May that not be said of us today, that we fail to believe the fact that we serve a risen Savior. "But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Would you bow your head and pray with me today? Father, we thank you that today we serve the resurrection and the life, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And I pray that today as we look to your word and as we seek to be transformed by it, that you would speak clearly to every single person, every man, woman, and child that is represented here. And I ask that you would allow us to open ourselves up and to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church today. I empty myself of me, and I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit fresh and new, that I would be able to clearly and accurately speak to God's people concerning the ways of God and what you have for us in this season and time. We love you and we thank you for the risen Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to say a special welcome to all of our guests. If you're here with us today and you're visiting, thank you for choosing to worship with us at the Well here in Fort Payne. We love having you. I hope I get to meet you after service, and it's so wonderful to get to have you worshiping with us today. But as we get into the word on this anniversary, really is what it is. This is the anniversary of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to take a moment to boast in his greatness. I want to look at Jesus and the amazing example that he lived, because so often we just look on Easter Sunday at the resurrection, but the resurrection was really the fulfillment of everything that Jesus had done and prophesied and talked about during his 33 and a half years on this earth. And so I want to look not just at the moment of resurrection, but at the life and the greatness and the power of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, because I didn't come with any other agenda this morning than to lift him up and to help bring attention and put focus on him. I hope you don't leave here today thinking about me, but thinking about him. Not just thinking about this church and the songs that we sang and the way that things were, but I hope that you leave here today with your mind centered and focused on Jesus, knowing he's my Savior, he's my friend, he's my Lord, he's my teacher, he's a prophet, he's a lover of my soul. He gave himself for me. As Paul would say in 1 Corinthians, he said, I decided not to know anything among you except this, Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't want to know anything else. I don't want to focus on anything else. Why? Because nothing else really matters but the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is our only reason for hope. If you're sitting here today and you have hope, I know for a fact it's only because Jesus Christ is inside of you. If you're sitting here today and you're lacking hope, you're in the right place because he is the hope of the world. He is the one that we can put our trust and our confidence in. And so Charles Spurgeon put it this way: no Christ in your sermon, sir? Then go home and never preach again until you have something worth saying. So today, hopefully, I have something worth saying because I'm not just talking to you about ideologies or philosophies. I'm talking to you about the man, Jesus Christ, who is our advocate and our friend, who gave it all so that we could be reconciled to the Father, because nothing else matters without Jesus. He's the crux of our belief system. He is the answer to every problem. He's the cure for every disease. He is the hope for all of humanity, and he is the reason for our existence. And I believe this. This is a motto for my life: always only Jesus. He's what matters more than anything else. He's the first. He's the last. He's the great high priest. He's the chief cornerstone. He's grace. He is love. He is mercy on display. He's the shepherd of our soul. He's the rose of Sharon. He is the Savior of the world. If you believe that, say amen. If you don't hear one other word that I utter this morning, hear this: Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. He's the Lord over all. And hear me on this. I speak this to you individually, not just to the room. God is real and God loves you. He sent Jesus Christ to this world to die on a cross, to be beaten, to be ridiculed, to be torn to shreds so that you and I could be reconciled to the Father. He's the resurrection. He's the life. And guess what? He's not in the tomb anymore. It's empty. He is risen. We don't have to seek the living amongst the dead. And I believe he deserves some praise in this place this morning. Can you just give the Lord one more hand clap of praise this morning? Well, I'm going to tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her seventh husband. I ain't going to keep you long. I ain't going to keep you long today. I need just a few moments of your time. It's okay to laugh in church, guys. That's all right. That's funny. I just need a few moments to talk to you this morning on this topic that we began last week. It's called paradigm shift. And as Jesus hung between heaven and earth, as he was lifted up on that cross, as he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. That's another way of saying, if I will be exalted on the cross, because he spoke these things signifying the type of death that he would die. If I be lifted up on that cross, I will draw all people unto myself. I will change and I will shift the very way of life. I will change the fact that you are separated from God because of sin to the place where you can be welcomed into the very presence of God because I'm lifted up. I'm going to draw all men unto myself. And I believe that he initiated a paradigm shift when he walked out of that tomb on that Sunday morning. He sealed the deal. And let me just revisit, because we talked about this last week, what a paradigm is, because I don't want you going through today not understanding this. A paradigm is this: it's a typical example or pattern of something. It's a model. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus set a new paradigm, a new way of life, and what life should look like. He gave us a new example. He gave us a new pattern. He gave us a new model, because previously there was a way that man lived and operated, and until Jesus came, it was that we were just going to be separated from God, and we couldn't get into his presence. We couldn't get into the Holy of Holies except by the sacrifice of animals, and so Jesus came to be the perfect spotless lamb that was sacrificed on the cross for our sins, and he shifted the pattern and the model and the example of what life should look like. He broke the mold. He set a new model. He created a pattern for us to live by. You know, we celebrate people in our culture and in the world that they changed the game, right? Like Michael Jordan changed the game of basketball. He changed the standard. He changed the way that the game was played. Tiger Woods changed the way that golf was played and the way that golf was viewed. But Jesus, so much more than those examples that I gave you, because he set a new paradigm and a new example for all of humanity. He welcomed those of us that were not born to Israel or to Judah to be welcomed into and grafted into the kingdom of God. He set a new pattern for us to live by. Because as you look at the life of Jesus, he was a prophet, but there had been other prophets, but there had not been any prophets like Jesus before. You see, there had been other good men. There'd been a bunch of great people. Moses was a great guy. David was a great guy. Elijah was a great guy, right? Isaiah was a great guy. There'd been other good men, but there had been none that had the intrinsic value of goodness weaved into the very fabric of their being like Jesus. He was goodness. There'd been other people that had done good things, but Jesus was good. Because Jesus is God. There had been other people that had accomplished great things, but not anyone that was greatness, the way that Jesus was greatness. There had been other miracle workers. We read it throughout Scripture that people worked miracles, but there were none that could say, your sins are forgiven to you. You see, the Pharisees didn't have trouble with Jesus performing miracles, but they took offense when he said, your sins are forgiven. But he said, to show you that I have the power on earth to say your sins are forgiven, get up off of that bed, take it, and you can walk out of this place, to prove that he had the power to forgive sins. You see, there had been other rabbis, but none that had the authority or spoke the way that he did. They would come and they would listen to Jesus. And the Bible says they would marvel at the authority by which he spoke these things. There'd been nobody that ever spoke the way that he spoke. There had been other events that helped shape the world, like the flood or different things that had happened throughout the course of humanity. But there was nothing that literally split time in two like the arrival of Jesus did. Do you realize that time is measured in reference based upon the arrival of Jesus Christ? That's where we get B.C., which stands before Christ, and AD, which stands for the Latin term anno domini, which translates to the year of our Lord, which is in reference to the arrival of Jesus Christ on this earth, which we celebrate as Christmas. I think it's safe to say that was a paradigm shift. Everything changed. Our whole system of time is structured around before Jesus came and after Jesus came. Why? Because while he was here for only 33 and a half years, which is just a drop in the bucket over the course of time from the beginning of creation to where we are now, 33 and a half years, but he did more in that 33 and a half years than if you could even fill all the books of the world of the miracles that he did. Why? Because there was such a paradigm shift that he was bringing a new model, a new example, a new way of doing things, because he shifted the typical order of living. He changed our perspective. He brought a new model, a new way of doing things. He brought a new pattern. What did he bring? He brought a pattern of love. He brought a pattern of forgiveness, a pattern of mercy. He brought a pattern of truth. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and nobody can come to the Father except by me. He brought a pattern of kindness. When he would look at the multitudes that were following after him to hear his teaching, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. That means that in his stomach there was churning mercy and compassion and love and kindness for the people that had been pursuing him to hear his teaching. He brought a pattern of good works. He brought a pattern and showed us what it looked like to have fellowship with the Father. He said, I don't do anything unless the Father instructs me to do it. I don't say anything unless the Father speaks to me and tells me to say it. He brought a pattern of purity. He shifted what was normal and set up a new way of life. I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. This is a rather large passage of Scripture, but I want you to get what Jesus was doing when he shifted the paradigm while he was on this earth. In Matthew 5, 38 through 48, here's what he says. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you. So he's about to change the way that they've been seeing things and the way that they've been doing things. I tell you, don't resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you only greet your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus is contrasting the law of Moses with the law of grace, the old covenant with the new covenant. Some people may think or say that grace came to lower the standard. I think that grace came to raise the standard. Jesus gave us a better way of living, not just an easier way of living. He said, you've heard it said that if somebody knocks your tooth out, you can go and knock their tooth out. But I'm telling you, if somebody hits you, I wanted you to turn to them the other cheek. You've heard it said that if you have an enemy, it's okay for you to hate them. But I'm telling you, you need to love your enemies. And you don't just need to love them, but you need to pray for them. And you need to, even the people that spitefully use you, you need to have a heart of compassion for them. He changed the entire way of how we viewed other people, treated other people, and he is our chief priest. He is our cornerstone. He is the model, and he is the example that we are meant to live by. There was no such thing as being perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect before Jesus. If you were to say, be perfect before Jesus, the answer would be correct if you were to say, I can't be perfect. But with Jesus, you can have perfect communion and fellowship with the Father. Why? Because when you receive him, he is perfection. He is holiness. He is righteousness. And he allows us to be in right standing with the Father. He brought a shift that no amount of human effort or willpower could ever get us into this place of righteousness with God. But Jesus, in one act of sacrificing himself, brought us into reconciliation with the Father. He changed everything. And he's showing us in this passage, the old covenant was based on your outward actions. It was based on if someone treated you this way, you could treat them that way. If somebody took from you, you could turn around and take back from them. But he's saying, no, this covenant that I am bringing about, it's inward. It's in your heart. It's not just about what you do on the outside. It's driven by me being inside of you and you surrendering and yielding your will and yourself to become like your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus brought a shift. You know what else Jesus brought? He brought the gift of the Holy Spirit so that now we don't have to be dominated by a life of sin. You see, without the Holy Spirit, without the sacrifice of Jesus, without the cross, sin would still be wreaking havoc in every single one of our lives. But how many of you like me can say, I've been cleansed, I've been forgiven, I've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, I've allowed him through the work of the cross to wash me white as snow. He brought a shift that we couldn't bring in and of ourselves. Listen, we could never measure up to the level of goodness that would allow us to get into heaven. But Jesus lowered himself to the point of death so that you and I could be reconciled to the Father. So that through him, we can do like we were talking about a few weeks ago. We can kill the killer. We can kill the killer of sin, pride, lust, complaining, comparison, complacency, compromise. We can live victorious. We can live righteously because of what Jesus did. Why? Because he shifted the paradigm. What was a model of imperfection got replaced by perfection itself. You see, the paradigm was man has fallen ever since the Garden of Eden. Man had been fallen. Sin had entered the world. And no one had ever been able to get back to that place of intimacy that Adam and Eve had with God where they walked in the cool of the day. Man had been separated because God had told them, do not eat of this tree. And the serpent tempted Eve and then tempted Adam with that. And they ate the fruit and they were separated from God. And they knew they were ashamed. They tried to clothe themselves with fig leaves. And God called to them and asked them, why are you running away? Why are you hiding? Because they felt and they knew we've been separated from that intimacy that we have with God. And nobody, no matter how good or how great they are, had been able to reconcile humanity back to the Father. And that's why God had a plan from the start. I've got to send the perfect spotless lamb, Jesus, my only begotten son, so that he could be crucified, he could be crushed, he could be bruised, he could be wounded and killed for all of mankind. But he would also rise again to solidify the fact that he is the Savior of the world. So we had a paradigm. We had an example. Mankind has just fallen. Man's going to sin. Man's going to do wrong. Man's going to be bad. Man's going to be separated from God. And there can only be atonement through the sacrifices that were made in the temple, on the altar, by the blood of animals, until God said, I am sending Jesus Christ to shift the paradigm. You know how I know Jesus shifted the paradigm? Because he told us this. He said, the same works that I do and greater works will you do. Why? Because I'm going to the Father. What he's saying is, you can pattern your life after me. The things you see me do, when I pray for people and they get healed, the same works can you do. The way that I operate and move within the Father, because I'm going to him and I'm sending you a helper, I'm changing the paradigm, you can become a new creation. He also said this, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Here's what it is. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love one another. Remember what the old way of thinking was? Love your friends. But if you got an enemy, you are more than welcome to hate that person. Jesus said, I'm telling you, I want you to love each other the same way that I loved you. And greater love has no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friend. Jesus shifted the paradigm. If you look at the English word paradigm and study its origins, it traces back to, like many of our words do, a Latin or a Greek word. And the Greek word for paradigm is paradigma. And I want to break this down and show you what Jesus did and what he was for us as our paradigm. The word pare in the Greek means close beside. It's the same root word that we get for the Holy Spirit when Jesus says, I'll send you a helper. He will be the parakletos. It's the same root word of para or pare. And so this word paradigma is close beside, and digma means to show. What does that mean? When I say Jesus is our paradigm, that means that Jesus, who is seated in the heavens with God in perfection, he decided, I'm going to come down close beside humanity, and I'm going to put on human flesh. And I'm not going to just sit up in heaven and watch and see how things play out. But I'm going to come down and I'm going to get on earth amongst people. And I'm going to show them what it means to live a life that is pleasing to God. I'm going to show them what it means to be victorious over sin. I'm going to show them what it means to be a person and that you do not have to be dominated by sin, because the Word of God tells us in Hebrews, he was tempted in every single way that we are tempted, yet without sin. He resisted sin. So he said, I'm coming to show you, I'm coming to pattern and model before you what it looks like to be a perfect person, to be a new creation. Because so often we think, Jesus was perfect, but I don't know that I can be perfect. But Jesus came down and he showed us what life on this earth was supposed to look like. And a lot of times we don't want to think about the fact that Jesus was tempted to lust, but he was. We don't want to think about the fact that Jesus was tempted to steal, but he was. Because the Bible says he was tempted. If you've ever been tempted in any way, Jesus in some shape, form, or fashion resisted that temptation. Why? Because that was the only time that that temptation had been overcome. And it was dominated and it was put under his feet to show us that we don't have to be ruled or reigned by the sin or the shame of this world. We can be reconciled to the Father. In the same way that he said no, we can say no. The same way that he said yes to the Father and no to sin, we can say yes to the Father and no to sin. Why? Because he shifted our paradigm. He came down. He didn't just from afar go, don't do that, don't touch that, don't be that, don't think that way. He came down and he got close. He got on our level and said, I'm not just going to tell you not to do something. I'm going to show you how to do it. How many parents are in here? It's one thing to tell your child, don't do that. or do this. But it's another thing to get down and say, let me show you the correct way to do that. Let me show you how to play nice. Let me show you how to love your siblings. I oftentimes, if my children are mean to one another, I'll make them not just apologize, but I'll say, now say something nice to your brother. You know, you're a good brother, you know. Tell them you're sorry. I'm sorry. I'm like, no, say it again. I'm sorry. And it gets a little bit softer every single time. But you have to show them how to do it. That's what Jesus did. Why? Because God's a good father. He didn't just say, figure it out. He said, I'm going to give you a paradigm. I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give you a model. I'm going to give you not just a good example, but a perfect example. Not just a good model, but a perfect model. He came down close beside to show us. He left heaven to come live amongst earthly beings. Think about this. Jesus was breathing, eating, sleeping, and living amongst humanity. He became well acquainted with our grief, the Bible says. Why? So he could show us the way to the Father. I hope today that through this, that your mindset shifts to realize, you know what? The world's not my paradigm. What the world says is success, that's not my paradigm. What the world says is right or wrong, that's not my paradigm. Jesus, who is the Word of God, that's my paradigm. That's my example. I'm not living my life based upon what Fox News or CNN says. I'm living my life based upon what the Word of God says because I know that that's the perfect example and that's the only thing that's going to lead me to life and life more abundantly. Celebrities are not my paradigm. What they say and what they think about stuff, I'm more concerned with what does Jesus say about this matter? What does Jesus say? What does Jesus think? Culture is not my paradigm. Just because everybody else thinks it's cool or everybody else thinks it's great, Jesus is my paradigm because Jesus is the Christ. He's our Lord. He's our Father. He's our teacher. He's our prophet. He's our Savior, our brother, and our friend. He's the one who was raised from the dead. He's the one that opened blind eyes, the one who turned water into wine, the one who had compassion to turn to the hurting and the broken and to bring healing in their life. He healed the leper. He healed the diseased. The one who was tempted in every way that we are tempted, yet without sin. The one who laid down his life as a ransom for all. The one who yielded to the Father and was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The one who walked on water. The one who multiplied bread and fish. The one who did not seek to be served, but sought to serve and gave his life for a ransom for many. The one who said, let the little children come to me. That's our paradigm. The one that accomplished every prophecy that was ever prophesied concerning him. The one that was obedient to the Father at all times, even when it was in the darkest, most difficult moment of his life. He said, not your will. No, I'm sorry. That's not what he said. Not my will, but your will be done. Just had to make sure everybody was awake on this Easter Sunday morning. Everybody was listening. But I also had to correct it because people are going to leave from here to go, man, that pastor's messed up. He tells God, not your will, God, my will be done. No, it's opposite. Not my will, but your will be done. That's our paradigm. That's our example. That's how we are called to live our life. That even in the moments that are the most difficult time that you could ever possibly imagine, and you're sure, I don't know what to do here, the best prayer you can pray is, God, whatever you want, whatever your will is. Because I know what I want, but that doesn't mean it's right. I know what I'm feeling, but I'm not going to be led by my feelings. I'm going to submit myself to your will. Whatever you want, whatever you have planned, whatever you have purpose, that's the way that I want to live my life. That's why Paul said this, imitate me as I imitate Christ. What's he saying? Pattern your life after me as I pattern my life after Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is our pattern. Jesus is our paradigm. The writer of Hebrews would put it this way. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you realize that when the writer of Hebrews said he sat down, Hebrew people did not sit down until they had accomplished the job and the task that was at hand. That was the symbol of, I'm done. It's completed. It is finished. And when Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, he was saying, I in perfect order completed everything that you set out for me to do. The job is done. It is finished. Man can be reconciled to God, and they have a perfect example if they ever need to know how to live their life or how to conduct themselves concerning a matter. They can look to the Word of God, and it will give them light and inspiration and guidance to know what that pattern and what that example is. He shifted the paradigm. He came close beside. He got down in the dirt. And he left perfection to redeem the imperfect world. He came to show us the way to the Father. He made what was previously impossible, possible. He showed us that with man, guess what? It is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? You know the best way that you can honor God and you can show love for Jesus is to live like Jesus. Because everything that Jesus did, you know why he did it? To bring glory to the Father. That's why he did everything that he did. So the best way that we can love him, listen, I'm all for coming to church, lifting our hands, singing, clapping, getting on our knees, dancing, shouting to God. And those things are great. And those are all aspects of praise, aspects of worship, but they are not the totality of praise or worship. Do you realize that what you do tomorrow means as much as what you did during praise and worship time this morning? If you want to truly honor God, focus on saying, my life is not my own, but I've been bought with a price, with the incorruptible and precious blood of Jesus. And so I'm not going to live my life the way that I want to live it. I'm going to seek to honor God in every single thing that I do, and I'm going to live the way that Jesus lived. How did Jesus live? He lived showing love for others. He preferred other people above himself. In fact, so much so that before Jesus died, very close before his death and his resurrection, when he was having dinner with his disciples, the Bible says that when they were all seated at dinner, Jesus stripped off his robe and his garments. He wrapped himself in a towel. He took a basin, and he went one by one down the line and began to wash the disciples' feet. And the Bible is very descriptive to tell us that he used the very towel that was wrapped around his body to take the dirt off of their feet as he washed their feet. As he got to Peter, Peter said, whoa, Jesus, you can't do this. And Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you don't have any part of me. Peter said, well, then don't just wash my feet. Wash everything. Jesus said, if your body's clean, only your feet need to be cleaned. It'll be all right, Peter. And so he goes on down the line washing their feet. And then the Bible says he got up. He took the towel off and he re-robed himself and sat down. Do you realize that what Jesus did in that moment, and we don't have time today to read the entire account in the gospel, but what Jesus did is he played out the entire gospel in front of us. When he took his robe off, that represented him taking off heaven and putting on flesh. He wrapped a towel around himself. And then it's important to realize when he washed their feet, he wiped their feet with the very towel that was wrapped around him, taking their dirt upon himself. Just like when Jesus was on that cross, every sin that you have ever committed or ever will commit, it was taken upon Jesus. But then once he'd finished that work and everyone was clean, he took that off, he put his robe back on, and he sat back down, just like Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He showed us and exemplified, this is what I've done with my life, and I've accomplished everything that I've set out to do. And the best way that we can honor him is to make him our paradigm. Tell him from yourself, Jesus, you are my paradigm. You are my pattern. You are my model. You are my example. I'm sure you had great teachers, great coaches. Maybe you had great parents, great people to look up to in your life, and that's awesome. But there is no better example or model to fashion your life after than Jesus Christ. To allow him, with his help, to love like other people, to love other people, to submit to the Father the way he did, to forgive and to serve, to live each day knowing, you know what? Jesus is alive, and he rose again, And he conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered hell. He conquered shame. He conquered sickness. He conquered doubt. He conquered anxiety and worry and depression. I don't have to live in that anymore. I can live my life for the glory of God, setting my eyes and looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. That doesn't mean that trials and tribulations and difficulties won't come, but when they do, I can count it all joy because I know that my Father in heaven has given me a perfect example through Jesus Christ, and he has allowed me to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, and I can have fellowship with him because he is my example and he is my friend. Amen. Can you stand to your feet with me today? If you would, every head bowed and every eye closed. I think it's important all the time, but I think it's very important on this Easter Sunday that we give opportunity. If you want to make a fresh commitment to serve Jesus Christ with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And I don't ever want to be somebody that makes it so easy to follow Jesus that you think it's as simple as slipping up your hand. I want to make you well aware of the fact that in order to accept Jesus, you first have to say no to yourself. You have to deny yourself and you have to admit, you know what? I'm not going to be the God of my life anymore. I'm not going to be in command. I'm not going to have control. I'm laying all of that down, and I'm converting my mind and my heart and my soul and all of my life to be surrendered to Christ Jesus as Lord. It's not, yes, it's about getting saved, but it's about more than that. It's about living with God and living for God. And so if you want to make a fresh commitment, maybe you got saved years ago, maybe you got saved 5 months ago, maybe you just decide, you know what, I think today is the perfect time to decide I want to surrender my life to the Lord fresh and new and say, Jesus, you are my paradigm. I'm refocusing my life and my vision on you. If you want to make that decision today, I'm just asking simply that you would raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you or do anything weird, but I'm just going to ask if you would raise your hand if you want to make that commitment to the Lord today. If there's anybody here. Now, if you're saying, I want to make a statement and I want to acknowledge with, you can now look up, everybody looking at me or not at me, but you can look around again. You don't have to look at me. If you are saying, you know what? I want to make a commitment that Jesus is my paradigm. I want to, and you're not saying that he's not. You're saying, I want to acknowledge in front of everybody in this room, because if we're ashamed of him before men, he'll be ashamed of us before the Father. And if you're saying, I'm choosing Jesus Christ is my model, he is my example, would you just lift your hand today with me? My hand is lifted because I'll tell you what, I don't want to look anywhere else for what life should look like. Because trust me, I've searched, I've looked, I've tried other things, and only Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. Only in his presence is there fullness of joy. So right now, would you just in your own words begin to tell him that he is your model. He is your example. He is the Lord of your life. Jesus, we lift you up and I surrender myself and I say before man and before God, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because you were not ashamed to hang naked on that cross, beaten and bruised and tormented with a crown of thorns on your head, with nails in your wrists, with nails in your feet, and you endured a spear in your side, mocked and bruised and beaten for me. So it's the smallest of things for me to say to you that you are my model. You are my Lord. I am not my own, but I was bought with that precious blood of Jesus Christ that flowed from Calvary, and I say my life is yours. Can you just say that today? Say, my life is yours. Jesus is Lord of my life. He's Lord of my home. He's Lord of my family. He's Lord of my finances. He's Lord of my emotions. He is Lord of every single thing that I have and possess. I give it all to you because you are the most important and meaningful thing in this life. I surrender completely to you, King Jesus. Now just take a moment and make sure that that settles in. Because so often we come to church and we respond to a message or we respond to a revelation or we respond to what God is saying and then we very quickly run back about our lives and we don't give the word time to be implanted inside of our heart. But let that word take root. Let the word of God water your heart. Let it take ground inside of you. Father, I pray that every single word that was spoken today, that it would be planted and sealed inside of our hearts. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is the seal. He's the seal of perfection. And I pray that you would perfect in us what is currently imperfect as we walk every single day, conforming more and more to your image, being sanctified and renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ that you have purposed and ordained for us to walk in. And I pray that this word would take root inside of our hearts, that we would not look here nor there for our model, for our example, but we would look only at Jesus. Just as when the disciples were on the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah showed up, but then all of a sudden they were gone, and the Bible says they saw no one save Jesus. Let us see only you. God, there's other good people. There's other people that have done great things, but there's no one that's like your Son, who exemplified your love, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And then he rose again. And may we never forget he's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And so we say, Jesus, you are our paradigm. The way you pray for us, we want to pray for others. The way you loved, we want to love. The way that you exemplified compassion, we want to do that. And so we say, have your way in our life. And we thank you that you defeated death, hell, and the grave, and you are the resurrection and the life, and that the tomb is empty because it was borrowed yet for a few days because you did not need it anymore, because you took care of business while you were in the pit of the earth, and you came back with the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and you defeated the enemy. You stomped him out, and you are victorious forevermore. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. Can you give him some praise in this place this morning? He's a risen Savior. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us today at the Well Fort Payne. It's my hope and my goal every single Sunday morning and Wednesday night that we gather together that you leave knowing God better and that you know that he loves you. He has a plan for you. And I think it's important that we don't stop saying things like that when you graduate out of high school. Because even though you're an adult, God still loves you. God still has a plan for you. He didn't stop when you became an adult. He loves you as much today as he ever has and he ever will. And he exemplified that by sending his Son to die on the cross. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing today? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you always keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus, the perfect example, the author and the finisher of our faith. And may you walk in his blessing and in his kindness and his love all the days of your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. Go with God. We love you. Happy Easter Sunday.